You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, October 11, 2017. Coming up in the next half hour, after the worst mass shooting in American history, scammers are targeting well-wishers and donors over social media. That story coming up on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
School busing services company Auxilio Services Incorporated will lose their contract with the Monroe County Community School Corporation on Friday. MCCSC's contract with Auxilio Services, which is being canceled within the first few months of the school year, has been at the heart of ongoing delays and difficulties in getting children to and from MCCSC schools on time. Concerns were raised a week before the school year began, when Muncie School Corporation experienced similar difficulties with Auxilio's bus services. Those difficulties prompted an outreach campaign by the Bloomington Solidarity Network, which questioned the choice by MCCSC in contracting Auxilio to take almost a third of their bus routes. Since the MCCSC school year began in August, missed pickups, delays in getting students to and from school on time, and students even having to guide their bus drivers along their routes have plagued MCCSC. Despite Muncie School Corporation's difficulties, MCCSC spokesperson Andrew Clampett had assured families enrolled in the district that no such delays would take place in Monroe County. After failures to procure correctly equipped buses and enough licensed drivers, MCCSC has decided to pull the plug on their $2.2 million contract with Auxilio. The move comes after Auxilio was sent a warning that five terms of its agreement were not met on August 14th. MCCSC stated that they have been covering Auxilio's routes with reserves and drivers who have been doubling up routes. That practice is expected to continue after Auxilio's contract is officially canceled on Friday.
The Bloomington City Council continues to wrestle with setting parameters for growth while at the same time encouraging it. In the City Council's ongoing review of the draft comprehensive plan, Councilmember Chris Sturbaum argued last night for including more specific language to protect Bloomington's single-family core neighborhoods from dense development.
It is important to protect existing single-family housing stock within this district, and then I've just inserted, since it is important to protect existing single-family housing stock within this district, changes allowing higher densities within or on the edge of existing single-family neighborhoods should require conditional approval.
Sturbaum said it's important to give residents the opportunity to be involved in the decision-making process when multi-story development is proposed for the downtown area.
But let's have feedback from neighbors, from people in that area when we do that, instead of just deciding ourselves or having our consultant write it up for us to debate later about whether we should insert these into these neighborhoods.
Several council members said a more appropriate place for Sturbaum's amendment regarding conditional uses is the city's Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO. Sturbaum maintains specific language in the city's comprehensive plan is a necessity, since the plan is the guiding document for the UDO. Council members Dave Rollo and Susan Sandberg said existing comprehensive plan language provides an appropriate level of caution for development in core neighborhoods.
You know, I see language in here that does say that. I mean, just the sentence before that. It is important to protect the existing single-family housing stock within this district. But then prior to that, it says a few locations may support increases in density. And again, it goes on further to say, you know, possibly where there are higher volume roads that would not, you know, have the same impact on core residential neighborhoods.
Councilmember Andy Ruff said it was unrealistic to expect, quote, freeze these wonderful neighborhoods the way they are, unquote.
I agree with Councilmember Sandberg that I certainly admire and appreciate and understand and respect Councilmember Sturbaum's diligent efforts to watchdog anything that might possibly threaten the character and livability of these neighborhoods that we're talking about around the downtown the way they are now. But I just, generally speaking, I just can't help but feel there's a disconnect. It feels disconnected for me on one hand to be touting a new major expansion of a convention center and all the new employment and be trying to recruit, you know, new employers in large amounts and densify our downtown and not also realize that these neighborhoods, they're going to have to change and adapt, and they will. It just seems to me it's a disconnect to think we can really have it both ways.
Councilmember Steve Volin, who represents the city's downtown District 6, said the city of Bloomington's zoning code also offers protection against what he termed catastrophic changes to core neighborhoods. Echoing Councilmembers Rollo and Sandberg, Councilmember Isabel Piedmont-Smith said she too sees language carried over from the city's previous growth policies plan that protects core neighborhoods.
2002 growth policies plan recognized the importance of preserving and enhancing neighborhoods, as well as improving the quality of life for both current and future residents. This has not changed. And I think throughout the document, this value placed on the older neighborhoods, it has not changed. I see that value recognized.
Sturbaum's effort to include safeguards in the city's comprehensive plan failed. The Bloomington City Council will continue its review of the draft comprehensive plan until its final vote on the document slated for November 14th.
You're listening to WFHB News. It is currently the daily local news, and it's 5:12 on October 11th. We need your support. It is our fall fund drive, and we need your support in order to continue and make sure programs like this continue to serve the community and South Central Indiana. I want to make sure that we thank a couple of our premier sponsors, including Michael's Uptown Cafe, Lauren Wood Builders, and Nick's English Hut, who helped feed our staff of 150 volunteers. This is a volunteer community radio station. That means our staff includes about 4 staff members, but then also a number of community members, up to over 150 volunteers, help make WFHB news and public affairs and music programming possible. So we really need you as well to help make this programming possible and to make sure that we can get these programs, including the Daily Local News, which emphasizes coverage a lot of other media outlets in our listening area don't necessarily pay attention to, including city council meetings and Monroe County Council meetings.
Yeah, you can't find local coverage like that anywhere else in Bloomington or probably Indiana. Live coverage or where we record the events and play them back for you later. These kind of local issues are important to people, but you just don't have an opportunity to hear about them if you're listening to commercial radio. And so we offer you an alternative to that, where we are ad-free here. We don't bombard you. We have some underwriting that we read, but we don't have these slick commercials and bombard you with that kind of buy sort of stuff here. So we thank you for listening. 812-323-1200 is the number to call. And so 150 volunteers, huh, Wes?
Over 150 volunteers. And that's actually kind of on the low end of the spectrum. There are a number of people that get involved with WFHB in multiple ways, be it through our 21 news and public affairs programs or through our award-winning daily local news segment, which is what you've been listening to here. We have won almost 70 awards through our daily local news segment, and that's not something to scoff at. I think that there are stations that are considerably larger than WFHB and have considerable more staff members that get involved in their news and public affairs programming that haven't even come close to that number of award-winning programs. So it's important for our listeners out there to vote with your dollar and show us that you support WFHB Community Radio, staffed by volunteers.
Yeah, so yeah, if you like this type of programming, and maybe you haven't given in the past for whatever reason, didn't get around to it, maybe you felt like you couldn't afford it, you know, we have all sorts of levels of pledges. You can be a supporting member of WFHB and set it up for just $5 a month if you want, or 10 or 20, whatever you feel like you can afford, or you can just call in a one-time pledge. But if you like this type of programming and you want to see it continue in the community to help not only yourself stay informed, but also your friends and neighbors, the people down the street, maybe people you don't even know. If you want to see that happen, you need to give us a call at 812-323-1200, or there's a way they can do it on the web, isn't there, Wes?
It's just as easy as ordering a pizza, Dan. You go online to wfhb.org, and there staring you in the face is a big red donate button. And you just hit that button, type in your information. It's secure, it's safe, and it's a helpful way to give back to your community. And with that, we'll go back to our daily local news.
Welcome back to the Daily Local News on WFHB. I'm Barbara Fuqua. Monroe County Council members are expressing their excitement over two projects aimed at refurbishing existing manufacturing facilities on Bloomington's west side. The council has approved two 10-year tax abatements, one to Phoenix Closures for its renovation of the former Otis Elevator property, and one to Cook Group for its renovation of the former GE plant. Speaking in the council's October 10th meeting, Council Member Jeff McKim voiced his support for the two projects.
This is a great adaptive reuse project, and you know, as Jeff Cockrell mentioned, just the fact that we're hearing two really exciting adaptive reuse projects in the community at this, on the same day, I think really just it's great news for the community.
Both properties are located on North Curry Pike in the county's West Side Economic Development Area. Giles Miller, co-president of Phoenix Closures, says the company is about a year away from outgrowing its current facilities in Illinois, Iowa, Tennessee, and Greencastle, Indiana. Phoenix Closures makes plastic container lids for products such as peanut butter and mayonnaise. Miller described the $12 million transformation Phoenix has planned for the Otis Elevator facility, currently owned by Sarin Industries.
Once the facilities are in place, which will probably take somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 months, we will start installing probably about $7 million worth of automation and equipment for our production. That includes injection molding presses, downstream equipment like wadding to insert gaskets and that sort of thing, as well as the automation that makes it possible to do this in a relatively high-tech, low-labor sort of way.
Miller told council member Shelley Yoder that Phoenix Closures expects to bring 73 new jobs to the area over the next 5 years, but says that number could grow.
When do you anticipate beginning to fill those 73 or whatever number of positions? And for those watching or listening later on, where can people go to apply and find out what those positions are?
You can apply online at phoenixclosures.com. And we would expect to start taking workers about 3 months prior to operations actually starting. So if we're looking at an 18-month start from the time of closing, then what we're really talking about is, 15 months from now-ish.
The Monroe County Council also supported the Cook Group's plans to expand into the former GE facility by approving a year tax break. In a previous presentation to the council, Cook CEO Pete Yonkman has said the company expects to bring more than 500 new jobs over the next 10 years with its $125 million expansion. County Attorney Michael Florey told the council the details of Cook's tax break proved to be more complex than the one given Phoenix closures because Cook's plans will be implemented in phases. A new 10-year tax break would kick on each phase of development.
You are acting on a 15-year economic recovery area designation, and at any point during those years, they will be starting projects that will kind of kick off a certain phase of abatement. So you could have 15 different abatements tracked throughout this process. It's fine. It's too big to do in just 1 or 2 years.
County Council Member Eric Spoonmore was one of several county council members to express their excitement over Cook's plans for the former GE plant.
When I opened up the Herald Times this Sunday and I saw that massive advertisement that said Cook is hiring 100 new manufacturing positions, I said, wow, this is a sign of good things to come. And it, you know, just made me really proud of the work that we do and the partnerships that we have with great employers. And, you know, you had mentioned it, at a time when so many jobs continue to be outsourced overseas, what we're seeing here in Monroe County is a resurgence of quality jobs and quality wages. And I'm just really, really proud of that and just delighted to support this and so proud of the relationships that we have established. Thank you for helping us drive this very positive economic growth in Monroe County.
Cook Group is also receiving support from Bloomington's City Council. In a straw poll last week, the City Council voiced its support for an arrangement whereby Cook made payments to the city in exchange for the city not annexing Cook properties in the county. The City Council is expected to cast a formal vote on the agreement in its meeting on October 18th. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua.
You're listening to WFHB Daily Local News. Thank you very much for your ongoing support of WFHB. We're certainly thankful for the fact that you're listening and for the over 150 volunteers that come down and end up spending their time at WFHB. There's a lot that this community has given back, and there's a lot of appreciation there for WFHB's news and public affairs programming. And we are in the midst of our fall fund drive. We're about halfway through our fall fund drive, and we're just to the point where we're starting to meet our goals, but we really need your help to get on that phone and to call in to 812-323-1200 in order to pledge your support for community volunteer-based public radio. And we really need your help to either call in, again, that number is 812-323-1200, or to go online to WFHB.org and make a secure and safe pledge, either one time or ongoing, month by month. At the minimum, you can pledge $5 at a time, $5 a year, or $5 every month, and anywhere up from that. But we really need you to show and voice your support for community radio, volunteer-based and community-backed community radio that helps bring you programs like the Daily Local News and our 21 other news and public affairs programs.
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize that when you call in and give your information to make a secure, to be a sustaining member, to, in other words, to have so much withdrawn every month, you can either have it put on a credit card or you can have it done from a bank account. But this is a safe transaction that is, you know, hack-proof, and so you don't have to worry about anybody getting your information that's not supposed to have it. I think it's important because I didn't know that at first, and I was a little leery about doing that. But finally, you know, after I learned about it, I decided that I could become a sustaining member.
Did you end up hearing about that from, for example, our Better Beware, our Consumer Watchdog Protection segment that's coming up later in the program?
I'll tell you that Better Beware is sure a good way to keep up with the different kind of scams, and there are a lot of internet scams
going on.
You know,
there are even more coming up. But this one thing that's not a scam is good community-focused radio, and we need your support in order to make sure that we get programs like the Daily Local News on every day from Monday through Thursday. Our team of volunteers and volunteer journalists and our interns are working all the time to try to bring you the most pertinent stories for people in South Central Indiana, and not just Bloomington. That also, of course, includes Nashville, Bedford, Ellettsville, all over the place, Mitchell as well, including Bloomington and Monroe County. So we're really thankful for your support, and we're asking you for our fall fund drive to please call in a pledge right now. Our number again is 812-323-1200, or always you can go online to WFHB.org.
Okay, thank you for listening, folks, and we're going to get back to the news right now, but we want to tell you again the number to call here, 812-323-1200, or you can go on the web, like we said, and click on the button there at WFHB.org to make a safe and secure pledge to help keep community radio strong. If you love community radio and you love what you're hearing, please call in and give us your pledge.
Thanks, Dan. Welcome back to the Daily Local News on WFHB. I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. Now, also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service available at smithvillesecurity.com.
The Daily Local News is also brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
And up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
There is no lower form of life than people who prey on victims. Even a disease bacterium is more honorable than someone who tries to divert the help and money freely given by decent, generous folks to those who have been slammed by some awful disaster. Right now, awful disasters are all over the news. Two devastating hurricanes and the worst mass murder in American history. And right now, scammers and swindlers are busy all over trying to cash in on your generosity. The Better Business Bureau and various state attorneys general are warning about scams popping up all over, especially on social media. The most dangerously effective ones are using what's called clickbait. That's a post on Facebook or a tweet or a sponsored story on a news website that has a headline or subject line that really catches your eye and practically begs you to find out more. Clickbait posts are usually easy to spot. They use words like shocking, exclusive, you won't believe, and so forth. Or they offer lists, which lots of people enjoy. The 20 greatest, most shocking, most unknown, funniest, or most unbelievable somethings. Clickbait is not going to do you any good. Any information in such websites is probably wrong, almost certainly incomplete, and even if it's accurate, it's available in lots of other places. Clicking on one of these clickbait articles may only waste your time, if you're lucky. But just that click will put some money into the pockets of some unscrupulous person, and it may well be the first step in a nasty swindle. Many of us probably have friends or family who have suffered in the recent disasters, and we're good people. We want to help. That's great. Here's how to help and stay safe yourself. Giving money is probably the best thing most of us can do. First rule of giving, you find them. If they contact you by phone or email or whatever, watch out. Always give to an organization, never to an individual, and always check out the organization first. There are websites like the Better Business Bureau or CharityNavigator.org which rate charities and identify scammers, and you can always call the BBB if you can't get online. Fraudsters want you to give cash, wire money, or use a prepaid money card. Don't. Just don't. Use a credit card or write a check. Keep a record of all your donations. Be wary of brand new efforts to help victims. Even if they're legit, they may not yet have the organization or experience to actually help much. Better to stay with long-established, well-known charities like the Red Cross. Crowdfunding can be wonderful if you know for sure where the money is going. What goes around comes around. Helping others is great. Just be sure you know who you're really helping. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Alex Davis, along with Sarah Vaughn, for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish.
Our engineer today, Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Whittle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@WFHB.org. And stay tuned for the Brown County Hour, our award-winning monthly series from Nashville and the surrounding area, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@WFHB.org.